You know, first of all, I can't thank God for you. I can't thank God enough for you and for what you are doing. Your presence here was and is amazing. And this is the life of the diocese, and this is the life of the archdiocese. You know, this example, this model here, we sat over the years, has become known by everyone. Now I am in the East. They talk about you all the time. They ask me questions about you. And one of the things, His Grace, who is my brother and who is my neighbor in the East, as I said, you know, like, let us do something for Sunday of Orthodoxy like here. And I told you, I called all the hierarchs of New York and New Jersey. We ended just like he and I. It's a good beginning. It's a good beginning. So he said it, you know, like, we don't have the right to be discouraged. It's not about us. It's not about our pride. You know, this is the problem here. I hear from you and from every clergy that I am discouraged because I lost some members. We don't like to see anyone, you know, go from the church. We don't like to lose people. But when we come to the communion question, for example, like Father George said, we don't have to be, you know, like flip-flop. We have to be very straight. You know, we are Orthodox. You know, like, if you go to any restaurant, for example, you respect the instructions there and the rules. If you cannot do, you know, what they ask you to do, they let you go. So this is a church. Now, we have to say it, you know, like, in a nice way, that if someone is not Orthodox, if someone is not prepared for communion, we have to say it very clear, but in a nice way. But to use communion as a compromise, that is not Orthodox at all. And another thing which causes, you know, discouragement. When we have some, like, two pregnancies here, he shared with. Let me tell you something. In my diocese, in our diocese here, before I became the Metropolitan, a priest called me. He was crying. He said, Sayyidna, this young lady in the parish, she committed this and this and this. How do we handle that situation? Immediately, I didn't say, you know, like, go and apply all the rules against her and punish her and kick her out. I didn't say that. I said, you know, bring her in, talk to her, and try to have her ready for repentance. She didn't want that. She wanted to impose everything she committed. She wanted, like, to convince us that what she has committed was right. He called me again the same day. He said, she doesn't listen to him. I said, look, how about if, you know, like, don't let her abort the baby? She told her that. She said, we take the baby and we protect you from your family, from the society, from any scandal. We protect you. We offered every possible thing you could imagine. Number three, you know, like, the third time, he called me. He said, she's not listening. And I offered to take the baby. I offered to take the baby. She accepted that for 10, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, and she went after that, and she aborted the baby. So she rejected the whole church and the whole what we offered her, and she disappeared from the church. Like, a situation like this, you know, like, to be merciful, this is our belief, our faith. This is our Bible. Like, be merciful like your Father in heaven. Okay. We offered everything, and we have to offer everything. But at the end, we have to make a decision, the right decision. And we don't have to hesitate to make a right decision and a powerful decision, because we set, by acting this way, we set a good example for all the people under our care. So don't be discouraged, don't be afraid. So that's why, you know, like over the years, you and I, over the years, we worked, we built a good amount of trust. You are not afraid like to talk to me. I am not afraid to confront you about something. In the Antiochian village, I promise, you know, like after 2 years from now, after the convention, all what you raise today, important issues, pastoral issues, so I will discuss all these, you know, like issues in a symposium. The symposium, you know, to teach us about Islam and about politics and about business and about this will never happen again. The Antiochian village is for you and for all the parishioners of this archdiocese, and we will discuss and we will solve many, many pastoral issues. And this Antiochian village is for this reason. And I hope and I pray with all of you, like, to have another Antiochian village in the west or in the east or in anywhere else, if possible. For example, you know, baptizing or churching babies. Still, we don't have an answer. I will not tell you, use your discretion. I will follow the church teaching. I will follow that holy tradition. I will not say, you know, like every church has to do something different. You hate me? Fine, thank you. Let the people hate us. It's okay. You know, yesterday we heard about in the gospel that they hated me before you. So what's a big deal? Let you know, I am not your friend. I am not your friend here. I am not the friend of the parishes. I am the bishop or the metropolitan or the pastor of this holy community. So if they like to Father George Aquaro, for example, all what he said, you know, like, it's meaningful and it's painful at the same time. We are not a country club here in this church. If they have to leave, if they decide, if they choose to leave, let them leave. But at least, you know, we try to build a holy community, a healthy community. This is the problem here in this archdiocese, and I see it everywhere. And it hurts me, but I am not discouraged. I will do it because God is working the work, not us. So I will comment on the teaching. You know, like, I can't thank His Grace, my brother in Christ, Bishop Michael, for making time for us and to inspire us with all His presence and His example and His teaching also and His experience, you know, like over the years. The practical pastoral theology of three great fathers and saints, Saints Ambrose of Milan, Gregory the Deologist, and John Chrysostom opened to us the riches of grace. His Grace Bishop Michael has digested their holy teachings on the ministry of the priest by breaking up select teachings from their works into bite-sized pieces. He makes their lives and experiences present to us. He gave us probing questions to engage us. So let us take these handouts home with us. And as he said, take them as invitations to delve into the full body of their pastoral theology. But we must not just read their works to get through the book. You know, the teaching here is not new. I know that you can read it at home. But this fellowship makes a big difference with this teaching. So if you like to heal the archdiocese, this is the way we heal the archdiocese. We pray together, we eat together, and we accept the differences. You know, like we are not without differences. But differences, you know, like is good. Clash of ideas, you know, like is good, is healthy. We don't have to agree about everything. But in a prayer, in fellowship, in this brotherhood, you know, like we overcome the differences. But we must not just read their works to get through the book. Rather, we must take the example given by His grace and raise our own questions so as to improve ourselves. We take note that the saints do not theologize on some disconnected level, separated from life. On the contrary, His Grace Bishop Michael has pressed their teachings home to us. Not that His Grace was comfortable leaving us in silence to take responsibility to engage their work. Therefore, let us continue that in our own spiritual reading and then leave the study and give bread to the hungry souls who await our visit. Thank you, Your Grace. Thank you very much. I thank the very Reverend Father Stephen Wojtowicz. Thanks to the many years through which Father Stephen has served in the chaplaincy, always attending to persons in close to death and their families, and to the chronic suffering both in soul and in body. We are urged to attend to the many practical, daily, and familial responsibilities which cannot and ought not be neglected. Father Stephen reminds us that we cannot ignore the demands of our nearest responsibilities, the care of our wives and children, the care of our own health of body and mind even. We cannot sidestep the demands of our family. If we do not save ourselves and our wives and children, how can we justify anything else we may accomplish? Also, we see in Father Stephen a good pattern for facing each of us, our own interior issues clearly. Only when we face ourselves and admit our problems and limitations can we, in a prayerful and humble demeanor, succeed in ministering to others. In other words, we cannot serve others if we put our own agenda first. Our stating things in another way, if we transfer our own problems on to the one to whom we minister, once again we fail to bring grace. Father Stephen reminds us to keep watch over ourselves so as to be fully present to our needy neighbor for Christ's sake. Thank you very much, Father Stephen. You know, I tell you, for example, Melinda shared with us something about the Antiochian woman. And Deacon John Mahfouz shared us about the young adults. And we heard about the youth, and we heard about the rest of what we have in our churches. So don't read it, you know, like in the past, someone said, read it and file it. So take everything we heard here to heart. Take it seriously. We are not, you know, like in a joke here. His grace left his diocese. He left all the clergy and all the people entrusted to him. Father Stephen, the same. He left his seminary and many, many good souls there. And they came here to teach us and to share some treasures with us, spiritual treasures. So let us take everything to heart seriously. Those who took note, those who heard, those who have a good memory, those who have a waiting like for the CDs, for example, let us take everything and study it again and again and again. In this way, we improve our ministry. We replace, you know, like instead we have the encouragement by doing this, we have hope and we have encouragement. So let us take everything seriously. You know, we didn't pay all the expenses like just to have fun. This is part of the archdiocese. Like if this body is healthy, a big portion of this archdiocese is healthy. And like a snowball will grow more and more. So having said this, I have to take this opportunity to thank a few individuals. First of all, Father Nicholas, 2016, this seminar, 2016 seminar, would be February from 8 to 11, if you like to book the place for us. So I take this opportunity to thank all the clergy who did the services. You know, Father Michael did a beautiful job, plus all the deacons. You know, like in the past, I used to have a priest every morning or every afternoon, a different priest. There was no consistency, you know, like for the newly ordained and for a new clergy, you know, like to see what we are doing. And what you have seen, what you have experienced this the past few days, you know, this is exactly what we need to do in our parishes, priests and deacons. You know, we are not free to add something and to omit something and to cut off something and whatever. This is the way. And let me tell you something. The moment of after my election, I started working on liturgics. I don't promise you at this moment anything because nothing has been done yet. But little by little, you will see new translations, a new liturgical book, and a prayer book which is accurate and which is nice and which is easy to use. The bookstore in the archdiocese and in the Antiochian village is full of this red book. You know what? This red book, with all due respect, I have to throw it away. So thank you for all the beautiful services, and they were like spiritual uplifting and beautiful experience. The chanters, the father who did the chanting, and Father Timothy and Father John Finley and Father Michael Lafoon and Father Patrick O'Grady and Father John Ryman. So I appreciate your talents and all what you did. Thank you very much for this beautiful. And our participation, your participation is very important. One thing here, you know, like negative, huh?
Father Alban.
And Father Alban, of course. You know, one thing in the church, please don't, like when you have a booklet, don't keep flipping, you know, like the pages. You know, I said it in the past. I said it. Don't do it that way. Either you pray and your mind is in the icons, as I said, or keep that booklet in your pocket or on the chair. Don't play with it. Don't keep flipping the pages. You know, like, the prayer is not a book. It's not a few lines. It's not a few pages. It's a special, a personal communication with God. If we pray this way, many, many situations will heal. But when our mind is in a book and we ignore the icons and we ignore the what we hear in the services, that is not a prayer. That is not a prayer. So I thank also Father Patrick O'Grady and St. Peter for setting the chapel, beautiful chapel, every year. This chapel and the beautiful icons and everything, you know, was well done. Thank you very much, Father Patrick. Thank you. Now we have, you know, like everything is done in this seminar was done by some people, not me, not you, but by a few individuals. I will mention their names. Father Nicholas Spire, you know, like has been doing that for many, many years. Thank you very much, Father. And Father Stephen Howell, thank you. Taking care of the money and Father Michael Habib as well, and the dynamo of this seminar, Father Nathan. Thank you very much. Dynamo or dynamo. You know, someone we don't hear his voice at all, but he does a beautiful job in that little room recording. That is Deacon Stephen Bambakidis. Thank you very much. Thank you. What you are doing, Deacon Stephen, many, many people, you know, like will be listening to those recordings. And I know that many, many people, they enjoy listening to them in the car while they are driving, you know, like freeways. And so that is important. We teach, you know, like we educate people in many ways. So thank you very much. And look at Father Paul. He is excited. He is like nervous. He is, thank God for his presence with us, and we wish him and we pray that he will be with us for many, many years. So he is the protosynodalist, retired or emeritus, you know, protosynodalist, and he's still active and he still likes to be with us, and he is very respectful. This man is amazing. You know, I have a subdeacon, I have a deacon, I have Father Michael, he comes to my room every day on time to escort me. And sometimes I don't pay attention and he starts running, you know, to show respect, because this is the way Father Paul has been all his life. And in his banquet, I said once, and I repeat it because I am proud of saying that this clergyman, Father Paul, he is the only one without an agenda. God grant you many years.
Excuse me, the only way I dare to stand up here, I might have sneaked out if I knew I was going to be eulogized. but those of you who have been here before know that I always want to remember somebody that has not been thanked. And I imagine some of you know who that is. We appreciate all that you have done, Your Eminence. And on behalf of all the clergy, we give thanks for your presence. And knowing that the additional duties you have, and we're so thankful that you have them and have the ability, to say the least, to be our Metropolitan. And Sedna, we do thank you on behalf of all the clergy, and thank all the people that you have thanked, and our guest speakers, and grant you all many, many years. Thank you, Sedna.
God is with us through his grace and bounties and love for mankind. And we bless his holy name always, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Through the prayers of the holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us.
Amen. Amen.